celebrating Black social entrepreneurs. And we've got two of them this morning, Andrew Suggs, CEO and founder of Live Chair Health, and Abner Mason, CEO and founder of Consejo Sano. Abner, did I pronounce that right?
Got it right, Consejo Sano.
What does that stand for? What does that mean? I suppose there's a translation for that?
Sure, it actually means healthy advice in Spanish.
Okay. And let's start with your organization a little bit. What is it that you are doing as a social entrepreneur? And I guess in that same sentence, what is a social entrepreneur?
Social entrepreneurship is when entrepreneurs like Andrew and myself create companies that have as a central goal of the company to have a positive impact on society. So for a for-profit like mine, making money is part of the goal, but an equal part of the goal is to improve outcomes for society. And so my company, Consejo Sano, which means healthy advice in Spanish, we're a patient engagement, patient navigation company. And what we're doing is we are helping connect low-income, multicultural, low health literacy, undocumented people. We're using data to build a more trusted relationship with those people and connect them to care so that they enter the healthcare system at the right place and at the right time.
I would assume also because of maybe a language barrier, sometimes information or being able to express yourself or telling you what needs to help is really sometimes a barrier.
No question about it. Language is a huge problem, and so is culture. We actually believe that culture is even more important than language, and we've got to build one of the things our healthcare system is missing is that trust that allows people to be honest about what's happening in their lives and then to engage with the healthcare system. And so we're using a lot of data, public data, private data, claims data, to understand who people are at that deeper cultural level and then connect them to care appropriately.
Well, speaking of trust, Andrew, let's talk about your live chair health. Nobody trusts your barber or stylist more. You give secrets to those folks, so there is a built-in trust with them, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely. And so, you know, LiveChair Health began during my time running this successful booking and scheduling platform primarily for Black barbers that pivoted into healthcare once my dad's health began to decline. And at that point, my co-founder and I then began to research health disparities. And what we found was Black men and women were overrepresented in almost every chronic disease category. And we began to ask ourselves why. And what we uncovered is that our community lacked trust and access, the two things that were true of the barbershop and hair salons. So in 2019, after participating in the Empower to Serve American Heart Association Business Accelerator, we began to build networks of non-clinical and clinical resources and in-person and digital services, all beginning in the barbershop and hair salon.
How does that really work? I mean, what takes place? I understand there's a way you maybe get a blood pressure, you maybe get some sort of numbers on a person. Tell me a little bit about that and how that works, really.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing we do is we set up a shop with a kiosk, which allows the client to check in. And what that kiosk does is it provides a health risk assessment so that our technology can then pair that customer or that patient or that member with recommended resources. And then they are prompted right now because of COVID, an infrared thermometer is equipped with the shop. And the owners are taking temperature checks. But we have returned to doing blood pressure screenings because blood pressure is a telltale sign for so many conditions. So there's a risk assessment that takes place in the shop on our kiosk. And then there's health screenings in the shop, which naturally prompts conversations to be sparked around connecting with the primary care physician. Or maybe some people we're encountering don't have access to health insurance. So through our partnerships, we're able to get those folks connected to the system.
How do you find these barbers or stylists that are looking to do this or willing to do this?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we began our company as a scheduling and booking platform. So we grew that platform to 700 barbers across 27 states and 25,000 clients using the platform before I pivoted the business because of my dad's health into healthcare. And so we have a network of barbershops that were already participating on our platform with the scheduling and booking tool. And then because of our expertise in this industry and our access to some of the top influencers in the industry, we're able to recruit barbers and salons across the nation.
How do you balance that sort of social impact and just sort of making money that an entrepreneur wants to do?
Sure. This is Abner. It is a balance, and it's an important balance, and that's what social entrepreneurship is all about. And that's why, you know, getting funding from the American Heart Association is so important for entrepreneurs like Andrew and myself. We're both, you know, African Americans. It's hard to raise money as an African American entrepreneur, and so the American Heart Association recognizes that we need better solutions. If we keep doing what we're doing, we're not going to have a healthcare system that works well, because it doesn't work well today. We need better solutions, more local solutions, and that means funding entrepreneurs like Andrew and myself. And so the American Heart Association is providing grants to organizations like ours, and in my case, we're a for-profit. They provided a direct equity investment from a new fund they have called the Bernard J. Tyson Fund. This is really cutting-edge financing for entrepreneurs and startups. I think that what the American Heart Association is doing is really setting an example for other organizations. We need better solutions, because doing things the same old way is going to get the same old results, and those results aren't good for people of color.
It builds the trust you talked about before as well, and I also suppose this is mainly on the preventative side, right? If you can spot something early detection, which sometimes, you know, people delay going to a doctor for whatever reason, the fear, finances, or something like this, but this way at least gives them sort of a little bit of control in their health.
Yeah, so I firmly agree. I mean, one of the taglines that we communicate all the time is that prevention is better than a cure. And in order to teach that message, we need to access, influence, and engage our community where we frequent the most, which happens to be barbershops and hair salons. So I think the industry is moving towards a more preventative approach than a, you know, patchwork job, which is great, because not only does it improve the patient you know, experience and livelihood, but it reduces costs for the entire system, which, you know, we're all a part of that you know, that cost equation.
Abner, where can people go for more information about either of these type of topics, or as well as just maybe that whole health issue that we're talking about today?
Sure. People can find out more about the work the American Heart Association is doing, as well as more about Andrew's company and mine, by going to heart.org/Black History Month. Heart.org/Black History Month.
Thank you. It's very fascinating, you guys, what you're working on, and we appreciate your time, and good success with what you're doing.